Old Testament reading comes from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is from chapter 25, verses 1 through 10. To you, O Lord, lift up my soul. O God, O my God, in you I trust.
Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exalt over me.
Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame.
They shall be ashamed of who are wantonly treacherous.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love.
For they have been from of old.
Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions.
According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way.
He leads the humble in what is right, and teaches the humble in his way.
All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness.
For those who keep his covenant and his testimonies.
The epistle is from James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We stand now for the Lenten verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. And now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Temptations, temptations, temptations. It seems like that's all we see around us. It's amazing how much there is for us to step into and to be caught up into a temptation. Sometimes we don't even realize we're going down a path that's going to lead to destruction, and yet we put our foot right in the trap, and that trap snaps shut, and we are in temptation's power. It happens so innocently. We start thinking that, well, I deserve this. You know, I've been really good. I should, you know, reward myself. You know, a little bit will not hurt me. Just a little bit. You know, and it really will make my spouse feel better if I don't tell the exact truth. You know, because she really doesn't want to hear the right truth anyway. You know, it would feel okay if I just, you know, made it sound better. All those things are the start down the wrong path. Down a path of temptation. We are lured with the thought that, oh, it doesn't make a difference. But yet, there is a penalty. There is a cost. And as we go down that road of temptation, pretty soon we don't realize how far we've actually gone. Because once we start looking at that temptation and seeing how good it looks, we want to go more. More is better, right? More is better. And so we get there, and pretty soon we're in the thick of it. In the thick of it where, my goodness, we're stuck. We've caused relationships to be broken and hurt. We've hurt those that we love. We've let ourselves down. We've fallen, and we can't get up. We are lost, trapped, enslaved, almost as if we can hear those prison doors slam shut behind us. And there we are, trapped. What is it that we do when we get there? When we're in that place of great despair, when we are tempted to think that we've done something so abominable, so horrible, that even God couldn't forgive it. That no matter what we try to do, it's going to be the wrong thing. See, we get to that place of despair, of sorrow, of pain, loneliness, anguish. And that's where temptation will get you. That's not exactly the road that we want to be on. But yet it is the road that we sometimes find ourselves. And unfortunately, many times, it's not until that jail door slams shut, that we realize what we have done, what we have managed to do in order to walk away from God's right path. We know, you and I, that temptation is around us. Satan is constantly bombarding us with his messages, and he works really well with our old Adam, that old lust in our hearts, that way that wants to say, well, we're God, we can do what we want. And so that old Adam cooperates with the temptation the devil provides. And it seems like we have no strength to resist. Martin Luther is attributed to a word that when you experience temptation to say, get behind me, Satan, because I'm baptized. Because he knew that Satan couldn't stand the truth. That Satan, being the father of lies, cannot stand God's truth. And that when God claimed you as his in your baptism, that God has made a statement. He has placed his name on you. That not only, unfortunately, marks you as a target for the devil, but also claims you as God's child by grace. And so, you and I today, we admit that, as Scripture says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, 1 Peter 5:8-9. And we face that evil one in a very real battle. But sometimes we forget to use what God has given us to fight him. Sometimes our pride says, I should be able to do it myself. I should be able to resist taking another drink. I should be able to resist taking another pill. I should be able to resist telling a lie. But yet, are we so strong as to not be tempted? So maybe you and I need to be reminded for Satan to get behind us, to leave us alone, because we are God's people. And God's people do not allow Satan to set the board, to make the move, to entice us, because we know that the devil's road leads nowhere. It leads nowhere that we want to go. It may look nice and pleasant at first, but it's going to end up really warm, really fast. So you and I, as we struggle against these powers without us, those outside of us, those internal to us, we need to remember what God did external to us, for us, in our baptism. Because you know what? We were united with Jesus in our baptism, buried with him in our baptism, so that just like he rose from the dead, we too might have new life. And that baptismal promise, that working of God in claiming us and putting his name on us, means that God never forgets us. He remembers us, is faithful to us, and he says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you. So when we're tempted, let us call on God. Get behind me, Satan. I'm baptized. I am God's own child, and don't you ever forget it. Because I'm not. May you and I be so firm in our faith that we trust God's power to help overcome temptation. You know, Mark's account of Jesus' temptation is really short, but it does get to the point because it closely connects Jesus' baptism with temptation. He writes that after his baptism, the Spirit immediately hurled Jesus into the wilderness, where Satan tempted him for 40 days. And that word immediately connects these two events. And so as Jesus was brought into the water of baptism, he started his ministry. And it was a baptism for sinners. And as Jesus came out of the water, even though he needed no baptism because he was not a sinner, yet God's Spirit descended on him like a dove. And that dove also marks the Spirit there. And as Jesus sees that, he also hears his Father in heaven. "You're my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And with those words still echoing in his mind, still reverberating in his ears, immediately Jesus is in the wilderness. You see, the reminder that God was with Jesus in those moments of temptation. That the Spirit is not avoiding us in the midst of temptation, but is leading us through it so that we can get to the other side. That we are not alone in this struggle against the powers and principalities of this world. That we are indeed led by the Spirit of God. And you and I, we are amazed at God's grace to us. That in the midst of our temptation, God still, like a rubber band, yanks us back toward him. He still wants us, even though we've started down that road. Maybe we've even gotten to the whole bottom of temptation and found out where it was going and didn't like the taste of it, spit it out, and God made us return to him to again know anew his forgiveness, his real presence, and his help for us. So as you and I, this Lenten season, focus more on Jesus, guess who else focuses more on us? The one who doesn't want us thinking about such things. So you and I, we have the opportunity to be in God's Word in his house twice a week or more. We can be in his Word every day. We can be in prayer at all times and in all circumstances, and we can remember that we are God's children, not by our own power and strength, but by the work of the Spirit leading us and converting us. That we are indeed baptized, and when God makes us his adopted children, he doesn't tear up the paperwork, but says, "You are mine, and I will be with you, even in this wilderness, even in this place you trod, I will be with you." And you know, our Lord Jesus also walked this road. You know, our feet would wander. Jesus went straight to where he needed to go. He faced the temptations of the devil. He fought him. And just when the devil thought he had won, "Ha, ha, ha, devil, you did not win. Just because my body's in a tomb doesn't mean that you won. Because God can bring life and has promised life to me because I'm his baptized child. And I am the offspring of Jesus. I am with him, and he is with me." I did not choose him, but God chose me. Isn't that wondrous? To know that our God is so triumphant over our real enemy, the devil. So much so that we can even laugh at the devil. You think you won. You don't know anything, because we know what's to come. May you and I be strong in our faith when we face temptation's time. And remember whose we are. We are God's very children, chosen, gifted, always able to serve, because God has said so. May we be clear about what God said and what he promises. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guide our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.